Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to part two of That's Me Trying. This is the big old trauma class episode. April's redemption arc comes to a head. Everybody, hope you already listened to part one. If you haven't, go do it now and then come back, and we will be here and ready to proceed with part two. And really quick before we start, Carmen's going to sing this song.
This is the song, and this goes to Angie. This is Angie, right? All right. Shut the fuck up, Owen Hunt.
Very good.
Sorry, maybe a little bit of phlegm in there. I'm sorry, I am congested, but
you're doing
awesome. Angie, I think I got it. So it was really good. Shut the fuck up, Owen Hunt, doe a deer.
Crushed it. Okay. So now we'll start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland.
We have two people.
Booty girl.
Nope.
Damn it. All right, regroup, Carmen. Regroup. You could do this. Dr. 40-ounce Stanley.
Yes.
And then Dr. Lightning McQueen.
Nope.
Oh. Corinne.
Yes.
Nice.
Okay, so Melinda Page Hamilton plays Dr. Stanley.
Hamilton.
She was in one episode of Private Practice and seven episodes of How to Get Away with Murder.
Ooh.
She was like one of the FBI agents at the end when they were really trying to like take down.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gosh, what a great show. Honestly, the best Shondaland show.
That is a take.
Out of all the Shondaland shows that I have completely watched, it is mm-hmm. the best one.
I'm nearing the end of Scandal, and that show really goes off the rails.
It gets but like, crazy.
The guy who plays Jake is so fucking hot. Like, I really cannot deal with it.
You mean Sean from Scrubs?
No, I mean Jake.
From State Jake. Farm.
Yeah, so hot. I watched an episode today where he like is doing something and then they have like a terribly CGI'd explosion behind him and he's just walking away. And I was like, this is very hot.
Literally, because it's fire.
I'm very into it.
I love it. I think Jake really grew on me.
Team
and
Jake all the way.
Yeah. Team Jake and team Wolf Guy.
Wolf Guy.
From Twilight.
Oh, Jacob.
Jacob. Jake and Jake. Whoa. Team Jake and Team Jacob. That needs to go on a shirt.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And people will know.
The second person in Shondaland is Amber Benson, who played Corinne Henley, and she was in one episode of Private Practice.
As Corinne Benson.
Mm-hmm. No, not really.
No? Dang it.
No. But Yeah, so that's Shondaland for this week.
Can I also tell you that Dr. Lightning McQueen looked a little bit like Cooper from one of his side profiles? And I was like, are they trying to force an alternate reality or a twin of Cooper?
Leo Bergen?
Who changed his name or was adopted at birth. And his name is Dr. Lightning Leo Cooper McQueen. Leonardo da Vinci Cooper. What's his name? Leo Bergen. Why did I get Cooper? What the fuck?
Cooper is because private practice.
Right. He's Cooper in private practice.
Yes.
Yes. Good job. And he's a dude in scrubs. Anyways, so that's a thing. My brain is starting to melt at
this point.
You're
doing amazing. Did you take cold medicine?
No, I don't have any, but I did take a Tylenol because I am for sure fevering. But I did get baby shark gummies.
Oh, those are yummy.
Yeah. I prefer the worms and I prefer the Sour Patch children.
I love the Sour Patch children. And the berries. You know I love the berries.
Oh, the Haribo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, have you had the nerd clusters?
Oh, of course I've had the nerd clusters.
Life-changing. Yeah.
I'll tell you this right now. Whoever came up with nerd clusters did not get paid enough. There is no amount of money that person could make that I would feel like does them justice.
Yeah, truly. Skittles are my favorite candy, tied with Reese's. But a nerd cluster, you can't put that down. You can't.
Mm-mm, so good.
All right. Where should we start?
Let's start with Dr. Bailey and the autopsy. So Dr. Bailey is like bound and determined to find a cause of death for Mary, who was played by Mandy Moore, which I understand, like, because, you know, she says it in the last episode and she kind of comes back and says it again in this episode, like she survived fucking Gary Clark and then she died from like this wildly routine procedure.
So unexplainedly.
Yeah. So it's just like frustrating. And so she wants to have like answers to understand like what's going on and why did she die? And there's unfortunately no answer. So she goes down. She wants to be an active part of this autopsy to find out. But what would you like to point out?
All coroners and pathologists in TV shows are weird and quirky, and I love it. And anyone who has never watched Psych, Woody, the coroner, becomes a main part of the show, and he was just a guest star for like two episodes, and they loved his banter so much that he became a staple. But he is just so, and he gets progressively weird. Like they get like more and more grandiose with his weirdness. So the fact that she was just chewing gum, honestly, and then like was so nonchalant about the Bluetooth and making dinner reservations and like, I'm going to hold this woman's guts and say, all right, time for lunch. You know, kind of funny. And that made me chuckle a little bit.
That is a choice. I always remember the coroner on CSI. Oh, maybe a pathologist. Okay, first of all, let me do this first. Because this is a teaching hospital, damn it.
Damn it.
The difference between a coroner and a pathologist. Because I didn't know there was a difference. So coroners are not doctors, I believe, based on what the internet is telling me. So coroners are different. They're typically not pathologists, and typically a coroner will bring in a pathologist specifically like in the case of like a forensics thing, like a CSI or whatever. And then there's forensic pathologists and then there's pathologists, which is like what Dr. Stanley is doing in a hospital. Like obviously Mary was not murdered. So she died from complications of surgery. She's doing the autopsy to find the reason. So typically a coroner can like, I guess, have a theory, but the forensic pathologist is like, this is the proof. Coroners and forensic pathologists are both medical professionals. They both have similar like job, you know, they're both looking at the dead people. And they So a forensic pathologist will be the medical examiner at a crime scene. The report that they write can typically like be used as evidence and like be used in a trial if there is, you know, like a murder case or something. They'll research can be used in identifying trends in death rates for like populations in different areas and things like that. They can also do like, they can do the tests on the tissue samples or other evidence to kind of tie it all together. And they'll also testify in court proceedings. So to become a coroner, also coroners coroners are elected, which is really bizarre. A lot of times they're elected, which is like a really weird thing to me.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
And typically they just need a bachelor's degree versus a pathologist that would have a medical degree.
Interesting.
So the bachelor's degree would probably be in forensic science, anatomy, criminology, things like that. If you're going to be a coroner, you can be a coroner and have a higher education. It's just not like as typical.
This is really, really helpful. I was trying to figure out the difference, but I didn't want to search. I had a little bit of a gut feeling that this was going to be this is a teaching hospital, damn it. I tried to guess beforehand. Also, this reminds me of a joke. What did one wall say to the other wall? Meet you in the coroner.
Oh, good job.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Came up with that one on the spot. I'm incredible. I'm amazing. You should elect me.
Yeah, that's really bizarre that that's an elected a position. I'm like, that should just be like, you have the qualifications.
You know what should be an elected position?
What?
Supreme Court of the United States.
I don't know. Oh, I have a lot of feelings about elected positions in general and how we as a society make all elected positions corrupt.
Yeah, everyone deserves a term limit. Except for
that
you,
is
except
true.
For, except for you and me. Unlimited terms.
All the terms for us.
So, Bailey, anything else to say on that? That was very good insight. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry if that was unclear to anybody, but I feel like I don't mean to say that, like, one of them is, like, they're both jobs I would never be able to do because I don't think I could just be hanging out with a dead body.
Yeah,
I do agree
no
with your take that, like, oftentimes in shows, they are presented as like quirky and like, look at this. I work with dead people all the time. I'm so happy and bubbly and like chewing my gum and eating snacks and wearing pink.
And who on earth would make a dinner reservation for 8 at 4 p.m.?
Which is a good question.
I mean, it's
but you know,
it's
some
party.
People do it. Some people do. Yeah. Maybe it's a late lunch.
Yeah. Early dinner.
Early.
Gotta hit the road.
Late breakfast. Early breakfast. Early breakfast. Who knows?
It's depends breakfast somewhere. Yeah.
So, I remember the coroner or the forensic pathologist, whatever it was on CSI was always like, specifically, I think CSI Miami, she would always like talk to the dead bodies and be like, oh, poor baby. What happened to you? Tell me what happened. And then she'd be like, I figured it out. This is what happened.
They told me.
Yeah. So yeah, Bailey wants answers.
Yeah.
Part of a doctor's job, a surgeon's job typically is not hanging around for the autopsies. So I do find it rude of her to go in and be like, you need to do it my way, the person who does not do this for a living. I'm like, I do feel, you know, if Bailey had specific things she wanted to look at, maybe like go over those before they start and like set your expectations. And again, if Dr. Stanley wants to be like, this is the way that I do it, and I will take note of those specific things when I get to, but I am going to do it the way I normally do it. But I'll make sure to keep an eye on those specific like areas of concern. But like when Bailey goes and talks to Derek and she's like, this, you know, this is what happened and I need to give the husband answers. I'm like, if you had said this exact same thing to the pathologist, I feel like you would have been better received than just waltzing in and be like, how dare you do your job in a way that I don't like.
Yeah, because that's I think the redeeming arc of Dr. Stanley at the end. She's like, this hurts me as much as it hurts you. Yeah. I am living inside of this body for the day.
Yeah,
I am intimate with Manny Moore's guts.
I would like answers as well.
Yeah. And then when she puts the brain in the jar, and this is a reference, this is a deep cut. It's like when Mandark was in the future in Dexter's laboratory and he was communicating as a jar. And it was a brain in a jar of water. Do we remember that?
Anyone? That is Raise a your deep hand. Cut.
That's a deep cut. Ha ha ha. The thing that really bugs me is I think that Dr. Stanley would have been right off the bat like, Bailey, I get it. Mm-hmm. You and I, we're on the same team.
Yeah, but what I also need you to do because it's my job to get answers.
Correct. I get paid on commission versus on how many answers I find. So get these blood clots out of here, woman.
Yep.
But yeah, it's obviously very emotional for Bailey.
Yeah. So yeah, unfortunately, they don't find any answers, which is really, really, really sad.
It's just bad luck.
It's just like, why did this one? I'm like, this is terrifying. I don't like that. So like Bailey finds some clots and she's like, oh, these clots, couldn't they mean something? And the doctor, Dr. Stanley says, you know, these clots are post-mortem, like they formed after she died. So no, they don't mean anything. Excuse me.
That itself blows my mind. Like how she could just be like, oh, no, don't worry about those. Those are nothing. I got you.
Yeah.
See it all the time.
Yeah.
In my line of work.
It's a bummer that they don't find anything. You know, you want justice for Mary. You want to know what's going on. Why did she die from nothing, essentially, like the most common surgery that Bailey does, basically. Why did that cause her to die? And it's just very frustrating. I did read that I didn't find it, but their Bill is not in the episode, but he was in a deleted scene. I guess Bailey goes to be like, I'm so sorry, like I don't have answers, but it was a deleted scene.
I feel like if anyone out there has that deleted scene, post it in the Discord. I think I'd like to see that. I'd like to see Please. That one. I can't imagine it's a happy scene.
No.
Do actors who act in scenes that get deleted still get the full credit for the show?
Yeah, I mean, they would get the... I mean, now it's hard because I don't... Like, now with streaming, I'm like, are they putting... I mean, I know, like, on Disney Plus, they put the deleted scenes and stuff with the shows and the movies, but I don't know, like... really without DVDs if every streaming service is doing stuff like that. I mean, they definitely get paid for the time they went and filmed it. Like, they still went and did it.
Right.
So I don't know.
So the scene where Bailey goes to Derek.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one of the end scenes, and she goes, 12 hours of work. This is the only line that I have. Alzheimer's is a bad disease. We should cure it. And then Derek tells Bailey, just fucking get over it. And Bailey's like, look in a fucking mirror, Derek.
Truly.
And I really like that scene because Bailey is upset about something that actually happened and actually has no answer. We don't know any conclusive details about Meredith having the gene or having Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
So Derek is just getting worried about something that hasn't even happened yet. He's preemptive.
Which I can't fault him for, because I also do that all of the time.
Yes, but don't look someone in the eye and say, just fucking get over it. I'm annoyed with that.
Yeah. Bailey goes in and she's like, I wanted to come in here and sulk. Derek's like, oh, there's plenty of room. Sulk with me. So she complains about it, and Derek is also like, I can't, like, it's just doing this research is depressing. Like, it's making me depressed. And I was like, that's fair. That is fair. It probably is really depressing. Like, a 32-year-old with early onset Alzheimer's, that's a nightmare.
Who can't remember their 3-year-old kid? Ah, yeah. Daggers.
Yeah, that's no good.
The scene where she goes, and she chewed gum in the room, and Derek goes, oh my God, gross.
That's disgusting. And she's disgusting. Thank you.
Yeah, it was disgusting, but again, quirky.
You got to do what you got to do, you know? I'm sure it smells really bad. The gum probably helps with the smell.
Yeah. What's the formaldehyde? Formaldehyde has a very specific smell.
Yeah. My dad told me when he like went to the morgue for stuff when he worked in the hospital, it was like a very specific smell.
One that I hope not many people get to smell outside of the medical profession.
Yeah. So yeah, unfortunately there's no answers with Mary, and that is a big fat bummer. And nothing against Dr. Stanley, you know. I'm like on her side again. I'm like, she's doing her job.
She did her best. She did her best.
Like, it's not illegal for people to work on the, to talk on the phone while they're at work. Bailey, don't judge her.
I'm talking on the phone at work right now.
Same.
Also, Jess went to go get Panera for us, so we have soup.
I'm so jealous.
She's like, you want me to go get some chicken noodle soup? And I was like, yeah, mommy.
Okay, that was unsettling.
Yes, mommy.
Stop it. I hate it.
Mommy, put some foodie in my mouthy.
Oh my god, what is wrong with you? You need to play this for your therapist. That's fucked up.
I haven't been there for a while.
I'm telling you what to put on the list.
This, okay, a joke is not admissible for therapy sessions.
I disagree.
Your jokes are, because you're mean.
Yeah.
I'm just funny. Remember that time that everyone said how funny I am and they said you're a booty, you're a drop of booty sweat?
No, I don't remember that time.
You're just a
bucket. But you're going to tell me I mean? You just called me butt sweat.
No. Booty sweat. We love each other.
But I don't feel bad for you.
That's fair. That's fair. You're amazing. Goodness.
So true.
We're friends. Kelsey did wish me happy Father's Day, too.
I did. I'm rolling away. Sorry. The rollerblade chairs.
You know it is. I don't feel bad admitting this open vent session. I'm sad that the people I wished Happy Mother's Day to didn't wish me Happy Father's Day.
I did.
You did, yeah, but not everyone. It was not a 1-to-1. Taking tabs on next year.
Because I'm the best.
Yeah, we have a podcast together. You can't risk that. Can't risk our chemistry.
So true. Okay, so Roy. Anything else with Bailey and Dr. Stanley?
No, I don't think so.
Get into the other bit.
No, I'm ready to talk about Roy Kent.
Roy Kent.
He's there. He's every fucking where.
Roy Kent.
Every time I see the interview with him where he's like, I wasn't even considered for this until I shot my own scenes and then I sent it to them and I got on a plane and I'm like, if you see this and you think no, just don't ever talk about it. Let's just let it die. We act like it never happened.
Honestly.
And then he did it. And here he is 3 seasons later.
I fucking love him. He's an angel.
Oh, he's great. So many people out there are mean about the 3rd season. And the 3rd season was great.
Yeah, people fucking suck.
All right. Roy Henley.
Roy Henley.
A returning character.
Yep. Did you think we would see him again?
No, I thought he was just a mere vessel to move Christina's trauma along.
And but, he is more than one episode of it.
It is, man. The end of this, a lot to take. So we're going to talk about it all here. Yeah. Let's do it.
Well, first, Christina Owen's like, hey, don't you want to help me run the trauma class? And she's like, yeah, whatever. And then Teddy comes over and says, oh, like, I got lungs for Roy. So because, you know, you are the one that kind of pushed for him to receive the transplant, like, you should be on the case. Like, he should be your patient while I go get these lungs. Just sit with him until I get back. Like, not a big deal. Like,
and he poor will literally April, be fine. Poor April is just shat on and she has to live through Hunt's trauma class.
Yeah, so... unfortunately, just like every possible complication happens to this man while Teddy is gone, which is I don't think what Teddy was expecting. Christina
if
is
only
still not
Christina
okay.
Christina had passed her trauma. Although it is kind of a comedic start. They're there, they're talking, and he's like, "Oh, come on, that was funny." And she said, "Any joke that starts with an animal walking into a bar is
scientifically
unfunny." And I'm like, "Gosh, Christina, I love animal jokes, and I love when animals walk into a bar.
Do you have any off the top of your head that you can think of?
Yeah, so a guy and a giraffe.
Are
go
you
into,
making this up?
No, this is an actual joke.
Okay.
Guy and a giraffe go into a bar. The guy has quite a few drinks. Says, "I'm gonna go pee. comes back. The giraffe says, well, I got to go pee now. And they go back and forth this for a little bit. They're just drinking more. And one of the times that the guy goes to the bathroom, the giraffe passes out and falls to the floor. So the guy comes back out, looks at the giraffe, looks at the bartender, pays both tabs and walks away. And the bartender goes, whoa, you can't leave that lion there. And he goes, that is a giraffe, not a lion.
Yeah, that wasn't that funny.
You laughed. And there
it was bad. And it was way too long for that punchline.
No.
Duck walks into a bar. Orders four drinks. The bartender says, do you want to start a tab? And he says, no, just put it on my bill.
Yes. Love it.
Classic. Classic duck bill joke. Not very
a
funny.
Duck walks up to a lemonade stand and says, got any grapes?
Man walks into a bar, says, ow. That's a good one.
Goodness.
Okay.
Let's do a podcast. Instead of working on our stand-up comedian routine.
It's like tight five of really bad jokes.
Tight 20 seconds.
Yeah. So yeah, poor Roy. Not having a good time. Not doing well. His daughter does agree to come though. So
but only because William Shatner wrote her a song.
That is interesting that the song actually like lines up one for one. So did you think like at the start of the episode when Teddy goes to get this, what did you think was going to happen? Like goes to get the lungs.
Honestly, I thought the helicopter was going to crash and that was the end of Teddy.
Why are you trying to kill everybody?
I'm not. Shonda is, but I'm so hurt and jaded that I thought something crazy was going to happen. It would have mirrored the helicopter situation that they were talking about with the trauma. But once they like were in constant communication with her, I was like, oh, okay, cool. But I didn't see his heart failing. And the Corinne storyline, she really kind of backtracks her hatred for him pretty quickly to Meredith. So that's sweet because it's revealed that, yes, he left mom, but he tried and she didn't reciprocate, so he gave up then.
So it feels very similar to Ellis and Thatcher.
Yeah.
So Meredith's like, yeah, I feel bad for you. I also don't fucking know anything about your case, so I can be in no way helpful.
Yeah. And Meredith keeps going to Christina, and Christina's like, can you just make like a rope and not? So it's just frustrating. It's frustrating to see, because it was in one of those scenes, I think it was when she shows up and she's like, well, you're going to be my babysitter or some shit. Like, just go fucking wait with her. Go in the waiting room.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, oh, there's some beef. There's some beef Wellington here and I'm concerned.
But Derek says it right off the bat at the beginning of the episode.
But I think Derek like just was looking too
clearly
much into it.
Derek has no idea why. Like he needed it to be about him because of course it would be. But like, he's like,
is she mad that I didn't get a grant and I'm still doing the clinical trial or whatever it was?
He's like, he thinks that Meredith is being mean to Christina because Owen got the money and not Derek.
Which
is stupid and untrue.
It's not always about a boy.
It's thank you. Yeah, again, back on what I was saying earlier, that Owen has, like, no idea why that Meredith and Christina are even, like, having any problems because he doesn't understand the importance of their relationship. That's why he sends Meredith to babysit Christina, basically. And Meredith says, like, did she ask for me? Because, like, she doesn't want me there. Because Meredith fucking knows what's going on. And Owen's like, please,
do it for me.
Please, and that's when, just do me this kindness.
And that's when all of the listeners at home go, shut the fuck up, Owen Hunt.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Stunning. Perfect. No notes. Okay, so, I mean, what did you... I know that you have been struggling with this storyline. So now that we've added on top of Christina, like not wanting to do surgery, she's also now like doesn't want to be friends with Meredith because she blames Meredith. So where's your head at?
honestly, I don't know where I'm with, especially the way this episode ended. I really don't know because we see a scene where Roy codes while mm-hmm. Corinne is there.
Right.
And then Christina freezes and then we cut back and she's like halfway in. Well, no, because she goes to Lightning McQueen and says, what should I do? And he goes, well, what would you do? And she goes, well, I would do this. And he's like, okay, well, it sounds like you got it under control. Go do that then.
Yeah.
And it was an aortic balloon or something like that.
Yeah.
And so she does it and she's clearly doing something. She's got some sort of mechanism in the dude because we see it on the X-ray. But then the guy's leg turns blue.
Yeah, that was bad.
And then the heart is, on top of that, the heart is going bad and all of this. And I feel like Christina is doing things, but doing it slowly.
No, I think she was turning a corner. She just wants other people to do it for her. Like, she doesn't want to do the procedures. So she goes to McQueen and she's like, hey, you need to insert this balloon. And he's like, no, you can do it. Like, I'm busy. Like, just do it. And she's like, let me call Teddy because, I mean, she knows she needs to do ECMO, but it's like a procedure. She doesn't want to do it. So yeah. I think it's less that she's doing it slowly and more that she's trying not to do anything because she doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah. But it turns out that, so they did end up getting him his new lung. It all had worked, mm-hmm. but I feel like in that time, so that we're led to believe that Christina during that time is when she's kind of making this realization that she's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. It's confusing.
Or maybe it happens after the helicopter scene. Maybe yes. That's the breaking point for her.
Well, I will say, when her and Meredith are on the helipad together, this is when she tells Meredith, like, you're the reason that I have this trauma, essentially. Like, if it had been anyone other than Derek, then I would have just walked away. Which Meredith says, no, you wouldn't. And I do feel like that's probably true. But I don't know that. And neither does Christina, but neither does Meredith. Like, nobody knows
never know.
It. Yeah, you can. It's something you can say, but you don't know. And Christina's like, you know, you stood there, you told him to shoot you, you didn't care about yourself or your pregnancy, all this stuff. And like, you were the one that made me do it, all this stuff. And so that is a lot of processing that she is doing and that we have
very
seen.
Quickly.
We haven't really seen her process this side of the trauma that she went through. And it's a bummer because, you know, through a lot of the healing, Meredith has been there. But now it's like, OK, Meredith is a huge trigger.
Yeah. Can you I think we should take a quick message from our regional sponsors. And then can you give the actual quote on that? Because that's a good monologue. So we'll be right back after these messages with that line, those lines. And we are back. All right, Kelsey, take it away.
Okay. So Christina says to Meredith, please just go back downstairs. And Meredith says, Christina. And Christina says, how are you fine? How are you just completely fine? Because I am ruined. I am dead. I am wrecked. And you're just walking around, what, babysitting me? And you, and as if you didn't go through the same thing. Why are you okay? And Meredith says, I don't know. Christina says, you know what? You were there too. You were there too with your sad eyes screaming at me to save his life. And I wasn't, you were then telling the guy to shoot you and not giving a crap about yourself or your pregnancy. I didn't have a choice. You did that. If it was anyone else on the table, if it was anyone else standing there, I would have walked away. And Meredith says, you would not have. And Christina says, I could have walked away and then I wouldn't be here. And then the helicopter shows up and Teddy's like, let's go. Tell me what happened.
Yeah. She goes in her best Thomas Jefferson voice. What did I miss? And we're like, well, just trauma, word. Teddy.
Well done. A lot to unpack.
What's your take on this rewatching this? And as a Christina fan?
I think that this is a lot of Christina realizing that Meredith is also very intertwined in Christina's trauma. She's mad. I also think that she's mad that everyone else seems to have moved forward. She's mad at herself for not getting, being able to get past this, which I think is very common in a lot of people with PTSD. Everything that Christina loves is tied up in this trauma. Surgery, Meredith, Owen, like everybody was, it was all right there. And so she has like no safe space, nowhere to look to not be reminded of like the worst day of her life. It's really, really hard. They shouldn't have signed her off. They should have let her go through her grief counseling.
Yeah. Give her some time away, a paid leave of absence, maybe.
Yeah.
Let her go explore her plumbing career while she processes her trauma.
Yeah. So it's just like not everyone has, no one has really set her up for success. In light of her traumas, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's, I wonder how long Christina has felt that and not told Meredith, or, and like also did the writers know that this was the direction they were going to go? Or did they think, like we are going to just kind of prolong this until we kind of either figure it out or it like we need some drama between them. When was the last time we actually had drama between Meredith and Christina? It's been a while.
Yeah, I think it was season 4 when they weren't friends.
I don't remember what the reason was.
Maybe it was season 5. It was season 5 because that's when Izzy gets cancer and Derek proposes.
Why were they not friends? What was the reason?
They were mad. It was the interns were cutting each other open and they like didn't tell, but Christina kind of knew, but like didn't know. But then Meredith was like, well, I didn't know. It was like a weird thing.
This escalated. One seems like a bigger.
Yeah, this is for sure bigger.
Yeah.
So yeah, I also feel like Christina again, didn't realize that Meredith like was a trigger for her until the last episode of the documentary thing when Meredith's like when they're actually sitting down together and talking about it and Meredith is like Christina's a hero and no one else could have done this and like she did it and she saved me and my husband and everything and Christina's like shut up. So I don't know if she really realized like her own truth until it was too late.
Until the mockumentary came out and said, your trauma will be on display for the world to see.
Truly. So, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to watch.
It's sad.
I knew that at the end of this episode she was going to quit. And I was like watching. I was like, are there any clues throughout? And I was like, not a singular one. She just quits.
This is a series TV wrap on Sandra Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
And then to top it all off, when Weber goes up to her and he's like, hey, you know, I know these last few months have been hell, but like, well done, dude. And she's like, I'd like to actually talk to you about that.
Yeah. Actually, do you have a minute? Because I would love to not do this anymore.
Yeah. Now that I've on the outside look like maybe I've turned the corner, I'd like to just quit, please.
Yeah. Because she does it, right? She has the full day. She does nothing wrong. She's successful. She keeps this man alive until Teddy gets there. He is successfully given new lungs. She does it. And then she's like, but I don't feel any better. Like, still, like, what she says to Owen at the end is, yes, I can do this, but I no longer want to. I quit.
Correct.
And Owen's like, Jackson, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So I don't know if I have any other notes. I think we've gotten through all of the things that I had to say, unless there's missing piece. Oh, when Christina goes to April or goes to Hunt and he's like, oh man, you should have seen it. April was wild today. It was so cool. And she's like, that's super, super cool. I quit my job today.
Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun for us that we just bought this firehouse?
That is going to take a lot of work to renovate.
Yeah. I will say the whole episode, she like visibly does not feel good. She's like very tense, very like closed off, very nervous, very afraid. When she goes out, even when she tells Weber she wants to talk to him, like you can tell she feels better.
Like a weight was lifted.
Yeah, like you can see it in a way. So that I do feel like that is interesting. Also, so I did not love when Derek went home and was like, Meredith, I couldn't work today because of you. I'm too afraid of you getting Alzheimer's and it's making me not be good at my job. And I'm like, okay, that one actually is less her fault than the other one, which the other one's also not her fault. But like everyone blaming Meredith all at once, I'm like, this is unkind. Her two favorite people in the world are like blaming her.
Yeah, because
he simply like not really things that she actively was trying to be a problem in.
Right. Yeah. When he comes in, it's like, oh, man, you've really ruined me. And she's like, well, apparently I ruined Christina, too. So get in line, buddy. Yeah,
you're not alone. Join the club, my friend.
Yeah, I'm ruining lives and taking names out here. So, yeah, that was unfair. Also, like, what was Derek doing that he spent 12 hours just sitting at that computer?
He was like researching, I guess, when you do a grant proposal, you have to kind of have all the numbers and stuff, be like, I want to cure Alzheimer's. This is the, because I'm sure there's different types of research behind Alzheimer's. You're like, I want to focus on this type of research. I want to do X, Y, and Z. These are the statistics that back up why giving me money is a good idea.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, let's rate it, I guess.
I rate this one. Man, this is actually kind of tough. Like a 3.99.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4.
I thought there was a lot of cool stuff, but it leaves more questions than answers.
It's definitely setting some stuff up.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is not one of those like pinnacle episodes, which is fine, There's still, we need those. Every episode cannot be Gary Clark.
Thank God. We would all be having heart attacks left and right.
Yeah. Keeping the medical business alive.
Blood pressure would be so high.
It's just a ruse. Shonda gets also paid commission for every heart attack attributed to a Grey's episode. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it's 3.99, like good storylines. I think it opens up. Where is the April Alex storyline maybe going? What is going to happen with Christina? It kind of makes you wonder about Jackson and where he's at with his healing journey. We lose Arizona, so who's going to replace her spot in Peds? We get this new Dr. Lightning McQueen. We get Callie saying, no, she's staying now. It puts another question in like Mark and Lexi's storyline. So, yeah, I think it brings more out than it does wrapping things up. So that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about for you? Like, where's your head at?
Yeah, it's a 4. I liked that there were kind of storyline continuances in this episode. So the trauma class continuing from the $1 million storyline, the Roy Henley following the Roy Henley storyline. Derek still wants to cure Alzheimer's. Miranda trying to get answers about why Mary died. Just kind of like trying to continue existing storylines and let people continue to process what they're currently in. Obviously the reveal of Christina quitting is a big deal. Like I remember watching it and being like, well, that can't be right. Surely she didn't really quit. That doesn't make any sense. Arizona and Callie breaking up, like lots of impactful things happening both for past storylines and for future storylines. So it is nice. It's a good episode. Obviously like a big moment for April, kind of becoming April, I guess, just like being like, yes, I have power. So yeah, lots of predictions to be made.
Yeah, let's do it. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with Callie in Arizona.
They're broken up.
And then what?
We never see Arizona again until 3 years from now.
Okay. Mark and Lexi. I know you want them to get back together.
I want them to be together. I'm predicting that by the end of season 7, they'll be together. Or at least have had sex one more time.
Okay.
Count it.
Christina.
That's a series wrap on Christina. We're done with Christina. She leaves the show after this.
Okay. Do you have any alternate predictions?
If hypothetically she were to stay, which there's no way she could possibly stay because I've now predicted that she leaves. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's ever going to be a surgeon again. maybe she'll be like a speaker. She'll be like a motivational speaker on how to overcome trauma with your best friend involved. Mm-hmm. Or she'll be a teacher and not a doer. I don't know. Yeah, so that's my alternate theory.
Anything with Derek?
I think Derek is going to get Alzheimer's. That's going to be the big plot twist. Derek dies of Alzheimer's.
Okay.
But also, he will get the clinical trial. And Meredith is going to be in the clinical trial, and he will cure Alzheimer's, because that's what happens in this TV show, is everything works out great, even if the medical piece supersedes reality.
Okay. Anything for April?
Her and Alex will fuck.
Okay.
And they will do dirty things to each other by in the next four episodes. So before this week is done, we'll probably see them smush.
All right. Sounds good. I think that might be it. Anything for Jackson or?
Jackson, I still got this feeling he's not cut out to be a doctor. Also, I don't think that Meredith and Christina are going to have a feud for much longer. I think that Christina's going to,
Sneezes.
I think they're going to get over it and they'll become friends. But I'm concerned that the writers are going to give this a long time. It's a lot of leash on this one. So, eight more episodes of Meredith and Christina fighting.
All right. Eight more episodes.
Also, Callie is going to do the Mark Sloan thing and have sex with a lot of women.
Okay.
To get over Arizona.
That sounds great. I love that for her. All right. Well, this is a shorter one. But
I blame myself. I'm sick. I feel like I didn't get down any tangents. I'm like sweating over here. I feel like I look like
Carmen needs to go have several rests and soup.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, that's all right. We're doing our best. You're going to rest up and then we're going to record tomorrow and we'll make it a real long one tomorrow.
Yeah. 6 hours tomorrow.
Woo!
I do just want to say thank you to all of our Patreon subscribers. You've been obviously like such a crucial part of our journey. If you have been on the fence about joining the Patreon and you are kind of thinking through it, definitely do it. There's a lot of really awesome content. We try to make more, and we also try to be as active on our Discord as possible. So you kind of had that unfiltered access to us as people, which I think is cool. The community is just so, so freaking awesome. Like the people in there care about each other. They're teaching each other how to knit and crochet, sharing food recipes. Like there's just some really cool stuff in there. And,
it's true. We love it.
If you have been on the fence about that, please, please consider doing that. And, hopefully we'll be able to continue to make more of that content for you guys. Cause we talk about it every day. But obviously our schedules are a little bit wonky, but this couple of weeks, these couple of days will be nice and fun and full of hot, beautiful smelling content.
Thank you so much. You're welcome. Alrighty. Well, I hope you all are having a lovely day. I hope it's not a million degrees where you live, because it is a million degrees where we live. Separately, somehow. Even though you're so much more north, it's still so hot. So if you are walking around, make sure you're wearing your sunscreen and drinking your water. And if, when you're walking around, you see Carmen, remember.
Share some sunscreen with me, and because I need it. And we appreciate you all so much. No spoilies, as always. No spoilies. And we'll see you all in the next one.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.